We continue with Willie and D. Mace, broadcasting from the Busy Bee,
you gotta keep
Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home with the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, here with you. Nick Frazier behind the glass. SEC Media Days continuing, but it's time to reconnect with our family member, former host of our show.
Long-lost family member.
Yes. We feel like enough time has gone by. It's time to bring Caroline Fenton back into the mix.
No, it's only been a couple. It only been a couple of weeks, but it does feel like 10 months, 11 months, you know.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Exactly. But it is so great to hear your voices. So glad to be on with you guys.
Yes, you miss us. You know you do.
Of course I do. Of course I miss you all.
Well, Caroline, first of all, how are things going down there? If you tell people how your first few days have gone with Yahoo Sports, and tell people what you're doing now.
Yeah, so it's been a good first couple of weeks, and it's nice to kind of start a new sports role in the month of July, whenever July, I guess, you know, normally isn't as crazy as it is this year, but being able to just kind of get acclimated. It's been a good first few weeks. I'm doing daily podcasts with Yahoo Sports and then ramping up for college football season.
Outstanding. So you've gotten the vibe at different venues for SEC Media Days. It does seem very different with it being in Dallas, but give me your thought being down there.
It does feel very different, and that's a conversation that I've had with a lot of people here. And I asked, like, it feels different, but why does it feel different? You know, every ballroom hotel is the same. It doesn't even really feel that different. Having Texas and Oklahoma here at SEC Media Days, because we've known that this is going to be a thing for the last 3 years. We've been talking about it and preparing ourselves for the last 3 years. I think the biggest difference is, you know, having it in Nashville, having it in Atlanta, having it in Birmingham, that's right in the heart of SEC country. Obviously, we know it's such a melting pot of SEC fans in Nashville. You had the fan presence. You had so much representation from across different, you know, radio stations and TV stations across the SEC. Dallas isn't necessarily SEC country. Yes, you welcome Oklahoma and Texas into the mix, but it doesn't have as much of a fan presence. And I think that's the biggest difference. We're just a little bit, you know, geographically far removed. But it's been a great event so far. A lot of cowboy hats, a lot of cowboy boots. Everyone's playing into the Texas of it all.
But it's not as, I mean, hey, listen, Caroline, you see cowboy boots and cowboy's hat here in Nashville. So I guess you was kind of used to it. In a sense.
Yeah, not as many pink cowgirl hats with rhinestones exactly. Here in Dallas. That's mostly on Broadway. Yeah.
Now, how has it been? Because also the big talk has been, you know, Nick Saban on the other side now. What has been the talk there amongst, you know, your peers and everyone else? Because he's doing a phenomenal job. And he just brings a different cachet with his championships and his knowledge of the game. So what's been the talk like behind the scenes about what's going on with him this season?
It's so funny because every time I've ever seen Nick Saban at SEC Media Days, he's followed by an Alabama State Trooper. He has a police escort. He can't go to the bathroom without an entire entourage or posse around him. Well, I was walking out of the hotel the other day, and Nick Saban's just walking around by himself, like in shorts and a golf polo. I'm like, is that Nick Saban just being one of us? So it is kind of fun to see him in this different role. But you mentioned the cachet and the knowledge and the championships. He's the greatest coach to ever coach the game of college football. So what he says matters. So when Nick Saban gets up to the podium or gets up to the desk and says, I don't think that Texas is going to come in here and run the SEC, like, that matters. That makes headlines. That's, you know, reaction on social media. So I think having someone in the media, and he now can give pretty candid opinions and thoughts about how he doesn't think that Alabama is going to get to the SEC championship game. Well, we know that's coming from a place of such deep knowledge and understanding of individual coaches, teams, and players. So I think the biggest impact, at least from my perspective, is just the cachet that he does in fact bring. That it's not just somebody getting up there to have a hot take or, you know, crazy off the wall opinion. It's the fact that he's put in the work and he has such a deep knowledge of the game and these teams.
We're talking with Caroline Fenton.
Has anybody called you Carolyn down there?
Nobody has called me Carolyn, but if SEC Media Days were in Toronto, then maybe I'd get Carolyn.
I think that's a good bet.
Exactly. We're talking with Caroline Fitton. Yahoo Sports. She's down at SEC Media Days in Texas right now. Now, Dabo got on earlier today. It might have been yesterday, too, but I caught it earlier today. And he talked about what could be some of the fallback of the new college football system. Potentially, you know, the regular season not meaning as much. The excitement. Because now, you know, you can afford to lose one, two, maybe even three games. Whereas before this new system kicked in, you lose one game, you might be out of it. So what is the talk in regards to that? Do you think it's going to impact college football in that way?
Well, first of all, I'm sick of hearing Dabo complain.
Dabo's always complaining.
it's your job to adapt to it. It is not your job to complain about it. But I do understand that the changes in college football drastically affect the lives of college football coaches and what was – previously a 365-day-a-year operation has only intensified. I disagree. I obviously you can lose two games and still be considered a college football playoff contender. I think that there's going to be a 10-2 SEC team that gets into the college football playoff, possibly even over, let's say, an 11-1 ACC team. But the reason why I disagree with Dabo is because conference championships matter, I would say, even more or just as much at least than they did in the 14 playoff. Because if you are in the SEC, ACC, Big Ten, or Big 12, a conference champion gets a first round bye in the playoff. That's huge. If you don't have a first round bye, you have to win four back-to-back games against one of the 12 best teams in college football in order to win a national championship. And at that point in the season, you're injured, the injury bug has hit, you're battered, you're bruised, you're exhausted, you're playing a 16-game season, you're playing an NFL season. So to have an extra week off to rest, to avoid a top 12 team week one of the playoff, to avoid the risk of getting upset in the first round, I think that's huge. And you cannot do that unless you win your conference championship. You cannot do that unless you win enough games to get to your conference championship. So while you can afford to lose one more game in the 12-team playoff than you were in the 14 playoff, the regular season is still incredibly important.
We're talking to Caroline Fitton, Yahoo Sports, down at SEC Media Days in Dallas. All right, so Caroline, how many teams is the consensus, do you think, in this first year that the SEC will have in the field of 12?
I think the consensus is four, but I think it'll be more like three. I think that Georgia and Texas right now is really the consensus of the two teams that will be in Atlanta, that'll represent the SEC in the college football playoff. And then it's a question of, well, is Ole Miss going to be that next team? Can Keelan DeBoer at Alabama get to the playoffs in year one? I think consensus is four, but I lean more toward three.
Okay, and so do you think that's probably the model in any given year? Three is likely, four possible? Minimum of two, probably, right? Every year, minimum of two.
Minimum of two, absolutely. I think the two teams in Atlanta are in the college football playoff because more likely than not, those teams are going to be undefeated, 11-1, or 10-2 with some really impressive wins on their schedule. Because every SEC schedule is going to be a gauntlet. So I'd say pretty much two you can guarantee, but three is more likely. The reason why I think four is just a lot is because there's going to be some cannibalizing in this league. There's going to be a team that loses to a team that they shouldn't lose to, and there's going to be really good teams that beat up on each other, that the likelihood of having four teams that are 10-2, that aren't conference champions, that have good enough wins on their schedule and better than, let's say, a 10-2 Oregon team in the Big Ten that has wins over Ohio State or Michigan. I think four just sounds like a lot, but not out of the question for certain.
All right, so we know one of the big issues right now with 16 teams is there's going to be a lot of randomness in strength of schedule that's sort of out of the control of the school. A lot of people look at Missouri as a dark horse team that could make the playoff. And one of the things they point to is they didn't get a brutal draw in the schedule. So how much do you think strength of schedule is going to go into this And do you think Missouri is a contender because of that? Let's compare Missouri and Tennessee. Who do you think has the better chance of making it to the playoffs?
I lean Missouri just because there's more certainty at the quarterback position, not necessarily just because of the schedule. Brady Cook comes in with already a year under his belt in the year that Missouri had offensively last year. So I would lean Missouri just because it feels like a more proven commodity. I think Tennessee is absolutely another dark horse contender to make the playoffs. In terms of strength of schedule, even an SEC team that has a quote-unquote lighter schedule or easier schedule, it's not an easy schedule. You're going to be playing at least Texas or Oklahoma. You're probably getting Alabama or Georgia. The likelihood of you going on the road at Florida and one of the most intimidating places to play in all of college football. Like, even a quote-unquote easy schedule in the SEC is still an incredibly difficult schedule overall. So I don't think that strength of schedule would affect an SEC team getting in or not. But, again, that comes into question if you're comparing two teams that are both 10-2, that both have good wins on the schedule, that might have some quality losses, to use a college football playoff, you know, vocabulary word. That'll come into question, but I look at the rest of college football, and if you're comparing the gauntlet of an SEC schedule versus the gauntlet of, like, Florida State schedule in the ACC, truly, I don't think that it can compare unless you throw in some really good and juicy non-conference matchups, like Texas A&M opens the season against Notre Dame. Now, Georgia's playing Clemson this year. LSU opens the year with USC. That, I think, you might start to see a little bit more, just to add a little bit of strength of schedule.
Well, then you got Texas playing Michigan the second week of the season, so that's going to be a good game in Ann Arbor. We'll talk with Caroline Fitton, Yahoo Sports. Now, where does I'm not going to ask you who do you feel is going to win the SEC, because I'm sure you will give your picks on your show closer to the season. But what I will ask you is, give me three teams that you had that you feel that has the possibility of winning, and one dark horse.
Georgia is who I think is going to win the SEC. Little peek behind the curtain there. And that's kind of the consensus here, is that Georgia is the deepest roster in college football. Georgia returns a quarterback. Georgia is a proven commodity at head coach. I mean, like, Georgia was one of the best teams in college football last year. They just lost to Alabama in the SEC championship game. So Georgia is my pick. Georgia is my pick to win the national championship. I don't, you know, it's not a fun or off the wall pick. I think Texas is in the mix as well. I also think that Alabama. I understand that you lose Nick Saban, you lose the greatest coach in the history of college football, you don't get better. But Kalen DeBoer has won everywhere he's gone. And although I don't think this Alabama roster has the, you know, typical Alabama kind of talent that maybe we're accustomed to under Nick Saban, they're still a really freaking talented team. And I think that Jalen Milroe is still a really freaking talented quarterback. So I would say Georgia, Texas, and Alabama. But I think that Missouri could absolutely be a dark horse college football playoff contender. They lose Cody Schrader, the leading SEC rusher last year, but they bring in a ton of pieces from the transfer portal. They're going to be using kind of a running back by committee to supplement what they lost in Cody Schrader. They have the best receiver, who I think is the best receiver in the SEC, in Luther Burden. Defensively, it's a little bit of a question mark. They lose their defensive coordinator, Blake Baker, and their defensive line coach, Kevin Peoples. But still, I think that this Missouri team, you mentioned the schedule earlier, with the schedule combined with what they return offensively, I think Missouri could be a team that absolutely could make some noise.
Caroline, I've been hearing about this a lot, and I don't know all the specifics of it, but it's been referred to a bunch of times, at least in the interviews I saw with Drinkwitz, the Missouri coach. The NIL rules for high school players in Missouri, they're gaining an advantage in recruiting with this. Explain what that is, because that's something that Greg Sankey has talked about as one of a gazillion challenges of trying to create a system that's equitable for everybody.
Totally. So the rule in Missouri now is, if you are a Missouri high school athlete and you commit to a public Missouri school to play a sport, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, whatever, you can start earning NIL money in high school, which is not unique to Missouri, but that's not a very, I think it's Missouri, California, like, very few states have that law where you can start making money in high school. So it's an overwhelming recruiting advantage for the University of Missouri because they can sell that to their to players that they're recruiting that are also probably getting recruited by Alabama and Texas and Georgia and all of these big name teams. That a player might look at it and say, hey, look, I can make $100,000 this year and I'm a sophomore in high school. So I think it's crazy. So I think what Greg Sankey is talking about is trying to have a little bit more uniformity so it's not a total, you know, recruiting disadvantage for some other states that or other, you know, programs and teams in the SEC that are at a disadvantage just because of state legislature, that they're pushing for a lot of federal regulations rather than state by state.
Right. And so Missouri, they can lure in-state
kids easier,
they can start getting them some cash.
I think
it's an advantage they're using over everybody else in the league.
I think every state should do that because it gives you an incentive to keep the guys or girls in-state.
It can, but it's also now you're
because
getting
you can
with,
earn
now
money earlier.
Now you're getting in cahoots with the government to help your football team
win to get the law.
Because other cities are like, well, can we get that change to our state? What Missouri can do?
I mean, I'm sure they don't know what they're doing with us people. You think they're going to figure out what to do with the NIL?
But that's where it's going, right? Yeah. And Greg Sankey and all of these coaches and all of these athletic directors and presidents are like, how do we rein this in and get some sense? So we continue to have the Wild West, but boy, it's fun.
Yeah, it is.
It's crazy. So Caroline, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
We'll catch up again soon. Best wishes as you continue to weave your web with your new gig, but stay part of the family as always.
Love you guys. Miss you guys. Thank you so much. It was so great to hear your voices.
Yep. Right. And Mets Cardinals for a wild card down the stretch. It's coming. We'll have to check it out.
Caroline and Willie Bowl.
Yeah, that's right. Big games coming up. All right, Caroline, we'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate it.
Yep. Great stuff. Caroline Fenton from down at SEC Media Days, now with Yahoo Sports, longtime host of our show. We'll keep checking in with her as time goes by here. When we come back, I want to ask you about this, the Missouri thing. Because people are like, Missouri? Yeah. Playoff contender? Missouri? Mm. This rule is helping Missouri. And Drinkwitz, their coach, talked about this on the podium. It's a little thing, but is it little? People may not even realize what they have at their disposal. But we'll talk about it on the other side. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more. Willie and D. Mace, our call and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com as we continue to be brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 and older and in Tennessee to bet.